From California, The Phil Hendry Show, with Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman, General Galen Shaw, and Margaret Gray.
And ladies and gentlemen, I am Margaret Gray. Here's my very dear friend, Bob Goulet.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in summer. Seeing you in summer, I never would go.
Jesus.
Excuse me.
With sunlight,
your lips red as flame.
Your face with a luster
that puts gold to shame. Oh, God, the lyrics alone.
But if I'd ever leave you, how could it be in autumn?
Is he gay?
Kill the music. Why do you let him do that?
Bud, why do you jump on the mic when you know she's doing an intro like that?
I just was asking.
Why did you ask that?
Because he's singing about it forever, or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, Bud thinks any guy will sing like an opera singer. Bud, let me tell you something, Bud.
General Galen Shaw, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Phil. Bud, it is not gay, nor is it effeminate for a man to sing in the operatic style. The tradition of opera is long-standing, not only in our own country. Robert Merrill of the New York Metropolitan Opera, have you ever heard of this?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but who wants to hear the gaiety of it, you know?
It is not gay.
Would you, please, General?
No, Margaret, I know how to handle it. I know how to handle it. I'm kidding, Bud, I'm just kidding. The thing of it is that I...
Thank you very much, General. No, not in springtime. Summer, winter, or fall.
Oh, God, would you end it, please? Either end me or end you or end the music.
Look, I'm sorry. You're not going to pee down my back and tell me it's raining.
Okay, I got to take charge then.
Oh, here comes Daddy to spoil our fun.
I'm not spoiling your fun.
I'm trying to tell Dickman about the operatic style, and you're talking about me peeing down your back. Let me show you something, okay?
Oh, my...
Turn it off.
Oh, my God.
General, why are you doing that?
Listen, I'll tell you something. She paid for it. She bought it. She paid for it. There it is.
This is the second time... That is absolutely crude.
General, I can't have you do that.
Well, then you tell her to give me some respect. All I want is some GD respect. All right?
General Shaw, you are behaving in a way...
Don't tell me how I'm behaving. You bought it, you paid for it, you got it.
General Shaw just dropped his pants again. This is night two.
Oh, listen to this. General Shaw just dropped his pants again. I was explaining to Bud Dickman. There, now you got me belching. How do you feel about that?
So you're going to blame me for your bad behavior?
Yes, I am. Yes. Bingo. Yes, I am.
All right. Enough. General?
Oh, well, then you have to have her. You have to have her. Have her get acquainted with her respect mechanism, and then respect me.
All right, sit down, please, if you don't mind. What is going on here, man, you know?
Well, I was introducing Bob Goulet.
Oh, baby.
Just take it easy. What is with the oh, baby?
Well, you know, this whole Bob Goulet, I question whether or not you really knew him.
I beg you. You get Frank Gray on the phone right now, please.
Well,
Get Frank Gray on the phone right now, please.
See, this is what I'm trying to not have. We have a guest schedule. We have two guests that are scheduled. We got Ted Bell. We got Dean Wheeler. We got a lot of stuff that we got to do. Would you turn that music off, will you, Bud, please?
Why does he...
Get out of here.
Is that from Robert Goulet?
When she stops to love.
Not Bob.
That's Robert Goulet.
Get out of here, will you?
How dare you say something like that? Robert Goulet was one of the greatest stage singers, live singer.
Yes, he was. Robert Goulet had a great voice. Absolutely.
And everyone, all they remember is the night that he'd had a couple of drinks and he forgot the words to the...
National Anthem.
Oh, that's Robert. Now I remember. Now I know why that singing grated the wrong way on me. That's the guy, huh?
I forget when it was. It was one of the Muhammad Ali fights, and he was chosen to sing the national anthem.
Well, there's no sense in making excuses for him, Phil. And here is this woman, Gray.
Oh, this woman, Gray. Is that's who I am now?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, you are. You are defending a man, and I remember Bob Goulet. Well, you call him Bob, all right. I remember Bob Goulet. Oh, say, did you see Endelet? Oh, man.
You're kidding me. He butchered it up like that?
I forget what he did, but it was not, it wasn't good. And it was blamed on an excessive amount of alcohol. It's rather famous. I'm sure you can look it up on YouTube. Maybe during the break we'll find it. It was Robert Goulet, and he forgot the lyrics. Yeah.
Well, I think it is one holy hell of a commentary to hang that on a man after the career that Bob Goulet had. Now
you see, you're doing that again.
What?
Every time you start to get into your preachy mode, you go, Bob Goulet.
Oh, Phil, grow up. This is my presentation for Bob.
Yeah, see, she done it again. She done did it again.
Yeah, that's what you do. You go, Bob. Yes, I notice it too. Are you the only one that doesn't hear this?
What are you talking about?
Just what Phil said. You go, Bob Goulet. And it makes me want to come out of my pants again. That's what I'm...
Get your pants... Put it...
Well, then tell her to stop.
General Shaw, if you take your pants off one more time, I have to tell you goodbye.
So this woman comes in here, she farts, she belches, she uses the toilet till it overflows. She has tampons stuffing up the plumbing.
All right. We're starting the show tonight, I see, as if we are a quarreling family. And more to the point, as if I am the father of a bunch of quarreling children, and it will not stand. Now, what are you doing?
I asked Bud to bring this music up because, ladies and gentlemen, my husband, Frank Gray.
Thank you.
Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen, will now talk to us about me knowing, and him knowing, Bob Goulet.
Yeah, and are we on the air?
Yes, we are, dear.
Well, where's Phil?
I'm right here.
Oh, how you doing, young man?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm better than Custer. What is that?
It's Robert Goulet.
Oh, this is Bob Goulet. Yeah, he was a tremendous, tremendous wife to point this out to you.
What's that?
I said he's a tremendous wife to point this out to you. She was a great singer, and I'm glad that he told you that we know her. Or we did, God rest her soul.
Is Robert Goulet gone?
I believe so. That's how well I know her. I don't know if she's still alive.
How could it be in autumn?
Well...
I apologize. Autumn,
yes, it's a little...
Hold on for a minute. I just heard from Nikki. What's that, Nikki? Oh, Robert Goulet passed on in 2007.
Okay. Now, there's a joke I could easily say that that's why she's not returning my calls, but I'm not going to go there.
How dare... You know something, Frank? That is tasteless.
Did I say that I'm not going to go there? I said I could have said that's why she's not returning my calls, but I didn't, did I?
You did, sort of.
Oh. Will you turn that down, for God's sake? I can't hear myself think.
This is Bob Goulet.
Oh, come on.
All right. I have to take a break.
You take your break.
Thank you very much. And then we have interviews to do, so I have to hang up on you now.
Oh, you're going to hang up on me. Why don't you come?
Yeah. All right.
You just hung up on Frank Gray, one of the top entertainment attorneys in Hollywood. And I'll tell you...
Be quiet, Margaret.
Oh. Yeah, right here. This, right here. No one can do that like Bob.
All right, that's great. We'll take a break. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Dean Wheeler and Ted Bell coming up next, and a debate over team nicknames. Very fascinating thing that we found out.
If ever I would leave.
All right, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com got caught with our, if you'll pardon the expression, got caught with our pants down, General.
Well, that's supposed to be about me.
Well, we're talking, we're going to, as yet, we don't have on the line with us here our good friend Ted Bell. We will get him and Dean Wheeler momentarily.
I demand that, can I say something?
Go ahead.
Why don't you share with your audience what you just sang?
Yeah, you have to do it, Mr. Henry.
Well, what do you think? That's some big thing?
Yes, I think your audience will find it shocking. The fact that you are someone that people love and trust.
Well, Phil, I don't think anyone will find it shocking at all.
You think people are going to find it shocking?
Yeah, I absolutely do. And the fact that General Gray and the rest and these two don't get it, I'm stunned. Now I'm even more stunned. Let me just ask something. You guys think that if Phil sings what he was singing during the break, the audience will enjoy it?
Yeah, I think they're going to enjoy the thing of funny.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a third vote from me. And let me tell you something, Margaret. I apologize for yanking my pants down because I forgot I hadn't put on underwear.
And that's the second time. If it happens again, I file a complaint with the state of California.
Oh, well, okay. Excuse me for breathing, but I'll tell you this. Phil can sing that song, and you will have a lot of people on his side.
I'll sing it. And it isn't that much of a lyric, folks. All I said was, you know, if ever I would leave you.
No, hold on for just a minute there, Sunshine.
And I told you I don't like being called Sunshine.
Well, I'm sorry, but I want to set this up. The audience, during the break, Phil was mocking Bob Goulet.
No, I was not mocking him. I was singing the song in a, you know, sort of operatic fashion, acting like a jackass, but I'm not mocking him.
Well, what do you call... He was the one that made that song famous, Phil.
I agree. And he sang it in that, you know, that baritone he has, but I'm not trying to make fun of him.
Well, then what were you... Go ahead, sing what you were singing.
See, now I feel like an ass.
Wait, hold on, Phil. This is what she does. See what she does? She does that.
What's that?
What you... Don't ask what you just did is you put Phil on the defensive, and he had every right, and I think he had every protection under the Constitution. I forget what I was saying.
Hey, Tanner, Phil, you made Phil feel bad, and he shouldn't feel bad.
Will you listen to these mental midgets? I want Phil Henry to sing what he was singing so his audience can get the full breadth, the width, and the depth, and the stench. Not of you, Phil, but of the lyric that you were singing. Go ahead.
Excuse me, Margaret, you're not...
No, go ahead, Phil, it's all right.
If ever I would leave you, how could it be in winter, knowing that in winter I love you so? Your ass is wide from the covered dish gatherings, but I still wouldn't leave you, because I, you know...
Well, you just butchered it up.
Yeah, that wasn't near as funny.
No, it wasn't near as offensive the way you just did it there.
I don't even remember what I sang.
Well, that was the essence of it, though. You're singing about a woman's rear end getting wide during the winter. And are you trying to tell me that that doesn't happen?
I think it is patently sexist to bring up a lyric like that, to sing a lyric like that, to the melody of such a wonderful song.
Margaret, you're going to have to just ease it back. This is 2013. People are really into... We're into sending up everything. We're into mocking everything. I don't know what it is, you tell me, but the society, the culture, everywhere wants to sort of just shatter a lot of norms, and we want to rebuild things. And the first step in doing that is humor.
So you want to shatter what Bob Goulet gave us?
Will you knock it off with the Bob Goulet? I think it's less respectful to call him that.
Well, there you go, right there, bingo. Right there, give the man a cigar. You calling him Bob Goulet makes it sound like you and he, and I think... you know what? You're going to hate me for this, but I think in Bob Goulet's defense, you and he being on intimate terms is reflects badly on him.
Did you finally get it all out? Because I was waiting.
You heard what I said.
Yes, I did, and it had no impact on me.
Yeah, you saying you being with Bob Goulet or whatever.
Goulet, you clod. Bud, you're a dirt clod with arms. What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
You're climbing with arms.
And a hat.
All right. I don't know what to do now. What should we do?
I don't want to just wait until I bring on Ted Bell after the bottom of the hour. It's too late now.
You're right. Robert, thank you. The one sane guy in this whole room.
Well, Phil, I'm sitting here defending you. Are you calling me some kind of a raving maniac chained to a bed upstairs?
No, I'm not. I'm not even close to that.
Do you hear how he goes overboard?
No. I'm gonna start the... Do you want to see a grown man cry? Because I'm going to cry if you people don't... Knock it off!
Dad, that scared me.
I'm glad it scared you. Okay. Robert Goulet, as I know, is a great song, beautiful song, If Ever I Would Leave You. And I was singing about, you know, in the wintertime when she has all those covered dish gatherings and her ass gets bigger. Big deal. I don't think there's a man alive that doesn't appreciate that about a woman that he lives with, especially when you live in the colder climes. General, back me up.
That is absolutely true, because, you know, Patsy and I was stationed for a while at Fort Snelling in Minnesota,
the old army fort, which they had reactivated for a brief time. Now then.
Oh, God, every time he says now then, I know it's going to be a big, long thing.
Is that right? Watch this.
Oh, my God.
General.
Well, I told you, as long as you're putting your money on the barrel head, I deliver.
What are you laughing at?
General, don't do that anymore, okay?
Well, then you tell her to have some respect.
God, if you're going to do that, I think... Are you senile? Because I think you should go to the doctor and have your mind looked at, because no underwear...
Well, how do you know I didn't... How do you know I didn't do it on purpose?
You like to go commando?
The what?
Do you like to go commando?
I was part of Special Forces, yes.
No, commando means not wearing underwear.
Is that where we've gotten to now? Is that how far we've fallen as a country? Where we take something that was applicable to a brave man? Yeah.
Get him some water or get him a sex change or something.
You'll pay for that comment right there, that one there. You'll pay.
Okay, look, I don't like any of these threats. Go get some water, will you?
Can I get another vanilla wafer?
Sure, aren't there any vanilla wafers, bud?
It's a whole case out here.
Well, I don't know where they are.
Well, what, don't look at me.
Margaret, what do we do around here? It's an entertainment show. It's a comedy show. So somebody's going to be making fun of something. You can't come on here with Bob Goulet singing If Ever I Would Leave You and not expect somebody is going to make fun of it, okay?
I think saying your ass as wide as six axe handles or whatever you say, that's what you sang. You sang your lip, and then what was the line? I see you merrily romping through the dung.
I was talking to Nikki about how in the old days...
No, don't give me a big, long speech about history, Phil.
Well, that's what it was. I mean, we're talking about King Arthur. There probably was cow dung everywhere. So if he was romping through a meadow with somebody, he probably stepped in some.
Isn't that... And that's what you call comedy.
Yeah, it's funny. But here's the bigger point. You know, when I was singing about your ass getting bigger in the winter, what's the big deal, okay? I mean, General Shaw said it, even though he's not wearing underwear and he's sitting there eating vanilla wafers and banana pudding staring at a wall with nothing on it.
You need to get him in for a cat.
For a what?
For a cat.
The radio is on out there. He can hear you.
Cat scan.
I heard that.
Well, you still need one.
All right. No, I will not. I think he's just trying to be silly. All right, folks, we got Dean Wheeler and we have Ted Bell coming up next. They're going to have a free-spirited exchange, I am sure, on the nature of team nicknames. Now, you know this Redskin, you know, we sort of tried to get into it the other night when we were talking about the Washington Redskins and Daniel Snyder. It's been a very, very tough year. In fact, it's been a very tough 15 years for Daniel Snyder running the Washington Redskins. And the nickname of the Skins has obviously been something that has been front and center in the news. So we're going to be talking about team nicknames, one in particular that some white people may consider to be a slur, because there was an article today that I read that I thought was very good, and the guy said, you know, you'd never get away with naming a ball club a white nickname that is a slur, any kind of a racial slur on white people. And I was reading that, and then I remembered something that Dean Wheeler had said to me about a particular nickname. So we're going to talk about a team from the sports world past with Ted Bell, who will be taking one position, Dean Wheeler, who will be taking another, as to whether or not the name Atlanta Crackers. Yeah.
Now, who are they?
They were a baseball team.
And, oh, my goodness, really?
Yes. And Dean Wheeler is going to be taking the side that... don't tell me that they're, you know, don't try to say that that's an offensive name, because it's not. And Ted Bell takes the side that it is offensive, patently offensive, and that you know, the sort of like the sword has cut both ways on this topic. All right. I also want to remind you to get to our website, philhenryshow.com, and pick up a backstage pass. We have, as you know, gift subscriptions all this month. Well, we have gift subscriptions all the time now. So you can get a gift subscription to the world-famous Phil Henry Show website by going to our website and getting one for the people that you love, say, and one of two tiers of the subscription you can have for Christmas time.
Now, the other idea we have for you, of course, is to do your Christmas shopping for your Phil Henry fan at the Phil Henry online store. And we've got everything there that any Phil Henry fan would be happy and proud to own. You can have my career if you'd like. I'm kidding.
Good Lord, Phil.
I'm joking. Anyway, you can go to our website and pick up on our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie, Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts, all the stuff that we have there, clothing, apparel, merchandise, collectibles. It's all there at philhenryshow.com. So it's ought to be a sweet, sweet Christmas for y'all. Now we'll be right back with Ted and Dean on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Why don't you sing this one that Bob Goulet did?
You'll pay, not me. You'll be the one that pays.
I think Bob Goulet did this. And the wind... go ahead, sing it, Phil. Then the wind flies merry.
Oh, brother.
The Phil Henry Show is brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm Ted Bell. Come on down for a juicy prime rib. We've got those Kansas City cut. We got it all at Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Here at Ted's
Beverly Hills.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
All right, Ted, good to have you back on the program. Ted Bell is with us. We also have Dean. Turn that down. God, bud.
Well, it's on iTunes.
What? Hold on for a minute. What was that? Because I'm the sponsor of this segment. I must know.
We are using a player for your jingle, Ted, because our wave card application is not functioning properly.
Can I just say something, Phil? Because I took a few messages on Facebook.
Let me get Dean Wheeler on.
You're getting on? I'm sorry, who?
Dean Wheeler.
And what is he?
He's going to be talking with you, debating you on this whole issue of team nicknames.
Wait. I was not informed. Excuse me for just... Is he on right now?
No.
All right, hold on for a minute, bud. Don't put him on. I wasn't informed of this.
I believe we did tell you. I know I sent an email saying that you would be on the show tonight.
Wait. Hold the phone here, Caballero. When I've got my commercial running on your radio show, which is the Ted's of Beverly Hills commercial, and I am sponsoring a segment, you don't necessarily tell me that I'm going to do anything. I mean, I'm paying for this. Okay?
I understand that, Ted, and I sent an email saying, would you mind debating Dean Wheeler on sports team nicknames?
And what did I say?
Bud, you got it?
Yeah, I got it back here at Ted of Beverly Hills. Response at 2:31 p.m. And let's see. Okay, you copied up.
Never mind who he copied. What did he say?
Yeah, no problem. Signed, Ted Bell.
Oh, well, you guys can't take that serious. You know that I'm in the middle of a work day. I got a million and one different things. You send me an email. I say, yeah, sure. I don't read that stuff.
Well, you got it. What do you mean you don't read it?
I don't read it. All right?
Well, I understand what Ted's... Ted, this is Margaret. I understand what you're saying. I know it's a very, very difficult thing for you.
Boy, look at you sucking up. Man,
what? Excuse me?
A minute ago, you're all up in our faces about Bob Goulet, this and that. And now there you are, sucking up on Ted.
Sucking up on Ted.
Uh-oh, you better take that back, Henry.
I didn't mean it that way, and you know it. I'm talking about licking his rear end.
Well, you better take that back.
Yeah, you better smile when you say that.
All right, I take back. I'm not saying anything that is offensive, okay?
It offends me there, Boogie Boy. It offends me.
Boogie Boy? What's that mean?
Oh, boy, everybody with the... You know what? Everybody around here's got a tender ass. I'm going to the bathroom.
Okay, then also there's tampons.
I'm going to kick...
All right, take it easy, will you?
You know, Phil, I've been hearing people say, every time you want to calm people down, you're saying, take it easy. You really ought to back off and get another phrase. I don't mean to be...
Okay, thank you very much for that opinion. She's in the bathroom. Okay.
Yes, she's in the bathroom.
All right. So, Ted, you don't remember?
No, I don't. All I can tell you, Phil, is if you send me an email and you get back a response, yeah, sure, whatever, you know full well I'm not reading it. You know full well that I probably glanced at it and I just went, yeah. You know, don't bother. That basically means quit bothering me.
So you want every time you respond, yeah, sure, just quit bothering me.
Exactly. That's exactly what that means, Dickman. There you go. Now, if you get a more detailed response, like, oh, yes, that would be interesting, or no, I would never do that, I won't do that with your lips, or whatever it is you guys are talking about, okay? Okay, Phil?
I wouldn't do that with your lips?
You know what I'm talking about. Then we have a substantial conversation going, see? But when you send me something in the middle of the afternoon... Hold on a minute, what? Put him in the back table there, okay? I don't want to look at him.
Can I ask you something? Every time I hear you talking to a maitre d' or a hostess or something about put him in the back table, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about some of these people that come in here from the Hollywood community. I don't want to mention any names.
Brad Pitt.
So I just...
Oh, okay. Don't mention any names.
No, I won't. Now, I said to whatever this guy, Bud Dickman, what did I say, Bud? I said, yeah, sure.
Yeah, you said, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no, that means don't bother me, get away from me, get as far from me as you can, because I'm busy.
Well, we don't speak that code, so what do you want me to do?
All right, I'll talk to the guy. Is this that liberal guy?
Yes, yes. Put Dean on the line here. I can only hope that... Hey, Dean, it's Phil Henry. It's good to be with you, man. How are you?
I feel real good. And, Mr. Bell, I was privy to some of your comments. Look, it's nothing personal, Wheeler. It's just that I am... It's business, you know?
Oh, that's perfect. You can call me Dean if you want.
All right, fine. It's his business, you know. It's got nothing and nothing personal at all in it about you. I just don't want to be on the air with some spineless, simpering, whimpering, lisping, and light-chewed, you know, liberal. But it's nothing personal against you.
No, not at all. I understand.
Boy.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, you just basically turned the guy into a walking stereotype, but...
That's all right, Phil. I expect these kinds of things. And I'm ready to debate Mr. Bell as soon as he is.
Okay, can I ask you a question? Are you going to use that voice?
Yes, I'm going to. What voice are you going to use?
I'm going to use my usual masculine voice.
I happen to be a heterosexual. I'm married to a woman, and I have been for the last 15 years.
Oh, man. Man.
Okay, Ted, I'm asking you to simply accept the situation as they say in the military. You know, just accept the situation and deal with it, all right?
Yeah, okay, Clint. Well, where do we begin?
Well, we're talking about the Atlanta Crackers.
Right, the Atlanta Crackers. Now, who gets to start? Do I start?
Oh, that's okay. You can go ahead and start, Ted. I'll take the rear.
Yeah, I'll bet you would. Wow.
I'm sorry I misspoke. I said, what I mean is I'll come up behind you. I'll do it second, okay?
Yeah. You know, Phil, this is not going to go well.
Just, you know, give us your opinion. I will control the flow of the debate. Don't worry about it.
All right, well, the Atlanta Crackers were a baseball team founded in 1901 in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, a lot of people don't think that there were offensive nicknamed sports teams designating white people, but I'm here to tell you, and you can look it up, the Atlanta Crackers existed, and they existed from 1901 all the way to 1965, if you can feature that. That's 64 years. 64 years that the white people of Atlanta were slapped across the face every single baseball season, every single game of every single season. The Atlanta Crackers are taking the field, and you might as well have had, you might as well have had a giant hand, and everyone in the stadium stands up, and the giant hand comes sweeping across the stadium, slapping every white face. And then, just for good measure, it goes back the other way and slaps them backhand. It's like a wave, only you're being slapped across the face till a tooth loosens.
Well, Ted...
I mean, it really angers me. And to think that existed for 64 years and no one said a word. Meanwhile, the Washington Redskins, a storied, longtime franchise in the hallowed National Football League... I don't think I need to explain to you what the National Football League has represented to our country over the years. It has been an example of manhood. It's been an example of business acumen. It's been an example of merchandising brilliance. It's been an example of community cohesiveness. It's been an example of the business world hand in hand with government. It has been everything that we hope and wish and pray that our country can continue to be. And yet here we are talking about changing the name of a football team that has been with us for 70, almost 80 years. It makes me want to vomit out of my ears, my nose, and for good measure, a good straight fire hose shot a la Monty Python right into someone's face.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
No, that was good. That was good. That was an effort.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Henry. It was an effort. Hey, hold on for a minute, Phil.
No, I got to get to Dean now.
No. Hold on. Hey, Emilio, come here. Hey, Mr. Henry said I did a really good job at a show. What do you think?
Well, yeah, it's good, you know.
Okay, get out of here. You're doing a great job, kid. All right.
You know, there's an Amalio that works at Bobby Dooley's Western Estates. Amalio Fandango?
No, that ain't him. Are you nuts? What's your last name, Amalio? Browning? Amalio Browning. Now,
Browning, huh?
Yeah. Why? Oh, I see. A guy with the first name of Amalio has to be Mexican? Oh, what a racist. You know?
Phil, I'd like to say a couple of things.
Go ahead, Wheeler.
Okay, thanks, Bell.
Whoa. You don't call me Bell. You call me Ted Bell.
Well, then you call me Dean or Dean Wheeler.
Okay.
I can't hear that. What?
I said okay.
Thank you very much, Dean. I mean, Ted.
Wait a minute. What did he just call me?
He misspoke and called you his own name.
Oh, that happens.
I apologize. I'm a little bit nervous. Phil, I am on to represent the side that says that the Atlanta Cracker nickname was not a racial pejorative, and that the white people of Atlanta did not suffer from what Mr. Bell calls a slap to the face every time they took the field or played a baseball season. The Atlanta Crackers were named after a term used in the South that is, in point of fact, rather positive. It's a term that originates in 18th century southern United States, what was then the southern colonies of the British Empire. And the term means a good storyteller, someone who is boastful, someone who is a raconteur.
What are you talking about?
Hold on now. Nobody interrupted you.
Well, I can't let this guy get away with that.
No, wait a minute, man. You can't interrupt, all right?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Bell. I didn't say anything.
Well, that's up to you, pal, but I'm not going to let you sit here and spin some bull crap. And
Ted, I'm going to tell you, Ted, I'm going to put you on hold if you don't be quiet.
Anyway, Phil, the term cracker originated in the southern United States in the 18th century, and it means a boastful person or one who tells a story, one who spins a yarn. It was one that described the very itinerant Irish and Scottish people of the region in those days, and in point of fact, it is mentioned in a letter to the King of England during that period, where the writer says, Your Majesty, they have a very interesting term down here, it's called cracker. It's for these rather roguish and renegade Irish and Scottish people who travel the countryside, I think, Phil, selling pots and pans or pig. I don't know what they're selling.
They're traveling the countryside and selling.
Hold on, Ted, will you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he said, Your Majesty, they're called crackers. So there.
Is that how he ended it? So there?
No, I'm saying so there to you.
Okay. All right. Well, both of you gentlemen, hang on. So there is the beginning. Well, I just said so there.
So there.
All right. So that's the beginning of a conversation we're having here about offensive team nicknames vis-a-vis white people. And according to Ted Bell, he thinks he's found one here with the term Atlanta Cracker. You guys can look up the Atlanta Crackers online, I guess.
Yeah, it's got to be on Wingopedia.
Will you get the name of it right? It's Wikipedia, man.
Well, what are you yelling at him for, Phil?
Yeah.
Every time you mention it, you go Wingopedia, Wikipedia, Winklepedia. You never get it right.
No, man, why don't you get it right? I'm trying the best I can.
Now you made him cry.
Oh, he's a baby. Just get it right, will you?
Making me look like a jackball on a radio.
You're the guy that's looking like a freak. All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com with Ted Bell and our main man here, Dean Wheeler. And back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, just to show you that we're an all-purpose, very egalitarian radio show that can go between a voice intro to a segment and a musical intro to a segment. Here's the Ted's theme.
Stay safe. My money is making this segment of the Phil Hendry Show possible, and that's all right. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, but it's my money.
All right, Ted, and I appreciate that. Ted Bell is sponsoring this segment of the program, but what we are talking about here is the Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're talking about the Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant sponsoring this segment. We're also talking about the Atlanta Crackers. Ted Bell joins us. He's the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills. Dean Wheeler, who's with the Northern California Holistic Center, is also on the line with us. And General Shaw, what did you want to do?
Well, yes, I might just simply say that I want...
Can you back off the mic?
Back off of the microphone, General.
And I'll do that.
Say that again.
I can't hear myself. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3.
Just say what you want to do.
I'm going to be singing a song since Gray here had Bob Goulet. I'll sing one.
All right, that's coming up now? No, we're doing this.
Well, my understanding was I get to sing it as a kickoff to this segment.
No, no, no. We'll do it a kickoff to this segment.
Hey, General, this is Ted Bell. General, no one in this world is ahead of me in their respect for you and the things you've done for this country. I have so much admiration for you. I have so much respect for you. But just get the hell out of my segment, and I don't want to hear from you again until I'm out of here, until I hang the phone up. Thank you very much.
I beg your pardon?
I appreciate you being there, but I'd like to conclude this thing with Wheeler, and then you can burn the whole radio station down for all I care. I don't give a damn what you do.
You know, the attitude around here...
I was just going to say, there's an awful lot of attitude.
Well, the attitude, Ms. Gray, I think was kicked off by you with the Bob Goulet stick. So don't tell me.
I'm telling you what I want to tell you, and I'll tell you this right now, that my husband, Frank Gray, and I knew Bob Goulet.
Oh, God, she's doing it, man.
Margaret, that whole Bob Goulet. Anyway, so Dean, go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Phil. First of all, let me just say this, Phil.
Whoa, wait a second. He already said what he wanted to say.
No, he was not allowed to finish because we had to go to a break.
What a chip.
Thank you very much, Ted. First of all, Phil, as I mentioned to you, he's right. I've got nothing more to say.
That's what I thought. I thought the guy already did his spiel about this whole cracker thing, itinerant Irish and Scottish. Man, I've heard it all now. Where did you go to pull? Did you pull that out of your shorts just before you went on the air, or did you have to actually think that one up? Because, friend, I ain't buying it. I'm Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and I'm here to tell you that calling the people of Atlanta crackers, that's one thing. Calling the baseball team crackers, that's something else. I've been called crackers, but that means nuts, okay? I've been called crackers by business competitors. I've been called crackers by employees. I've been called crackers by girlfriends, and yes, I've even been called crackers by my wife, Darcy, who I love very much. But that means mental. That means a mental midget. That means not a mental midget, because no one could really conceivably or realistically call me that. But it does mean that I'm half out of my brain. I'm half out of my mind. Like there's something wrong with me, almost congenitally. And that doesn't mean a racial slur. But it was to the people of Atlanta back in 1901 all the way to 1965, as the team say, hey, all of you crackers.
All right, now let me ask some questions. We're in the second part of this debate. Let me ask a question, Ted.
Go ahead.
What does cracker mean as a derogatory term? What does it mean?
I can answer that, Phil.
No, let me just hear Ted.
Yeah, he's asking me, Wheeler. Okay, Bell. You know, you can't call me that.
Why can't I call you Bell?
Because I'm Ted Bell. Would you please direct him to call me Ted Bell?
No, I won't, and I want you guys to quit wasting time. What did you call me?
Nothing.
Go ahead.
What are you asking me?
What does cracker mean? Why is it derogatory?
Oh, the word cracker means poor white garbage, okay? Now, you notice I didn't say poor white trash, because I think that has been used so often that the sting of that has been lost. So let me just say what it really means. Poor white walking garbage, okay? Take any garbage, take any moldering, rotting thing out of a dumpster, put legs on it and arms and a head. That's your typical poor white Southerner. And that's what that baseball team was calling their fans. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Every year in a newspaper ad, hey, all of you poor white, all you filth, why don't you come out and give us some money and watch the Crackers play?
Well, were they calling the people that watched the team that or the team?
What?
Were they calling the team that or the people?
The people?
The people!
Well, I mean, what they're calling, they're basically saying, hey, we're the crackers, and if you like us, that makes you a cracker, too.
No, that's not necessarily the case, because the Redskins are not saying, oh, hi, all of our fans are Redskins. What an idiotic thing you just said, Bell.
You know what? I hate you. I really do. I hate you. I've never met you, Wheeler, but I've debated you a couple times how I hate you.
No, that's fine. I don't care. I don't care what you think of me. I'm telling you that the term cracker, and I gave some scholarship to it. I looked it up and everything.
Yeah, you looked it up on, what do you call that, Dickman?
Found in Wikipedia.
Yeah, you looked it up on Wikipedia, and everybody knows that is just one lie after the next. Wikipedia is a scroll of untruths. Wikipedia is mendacity unchained. If Wikipedia were a guy, okay, it's a guy on steroids, a guy that broke free of the handcuffs on angel dust and beat up two cops. Okay? Thank you.
Ted, are you there?
Well, Phil, I'm still here, and I apologize for what Ted just did, but...
Ted, are you there?
E.T., hang on.
I want him back on the air right now before we go to break.
Yes, sir.
Nobody hangs up on it. That's the last time that guy hangs up. He's telling me how to do things. Hey, Ted?
What?
Don't hang up on me.
Well, I was done talking.
As a rule for all the guests on the show, from here on out, you say goodbye like a respectful human being, and then when I want you to hang up, you hang up.
I got a place full of people here, man. I got to kick ass. Okay, I got a business to run. What's the matter with you?
I don't care. You're going to say goodbye.
Goodbye. There, are you happy?
Maybe.
Oh, man.
All right, Dean and Ted, thank you very much for joining us here on this edition of Pointless Debate. That's what I think I'm going to call it from now on. Pointless Debate here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I think it had a good point. The idea that the people of Atlanta were called nothing more than moldering garbage with arms,
that's not what... I think Dean had the...
You think Dean did?
Yeah, I think Dean had the actual answer. I don't think it was offensive at all. Phil Hendry Show. Talk about that, Margaret.
I think that's a really good point.
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night here till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And just great to be with you. We want to thank Dean Wheeler and Ted Bell for a segment that we have inaugurated called Pointless Debate.
Hey!
That's right. We're gonna work up the banner for the website. Pointless Debate with Ted Bell and Dean Wheeler as they debate in a pointless manner some... something that you'll never solve it. You know, you'll never solve it. Another pointless debate would be like what?
Gotta do a pointless debate about Obama and everything.
That's a good pointless debate.
Yeah, we'll debate whether Obama's a good president or not. That's pointless. You know, there's people that are just convinced he stinks, and there's people that are convinced, and, you know, so there you go. And then all this stuff that's been going on. The guy goes to Mandela's funeral, and everybody's jumping him for shaking hands with the guy Castro, and they didn't like Neil Cavuto on Fox News.
I say, Neil, if you're listening, and we've met Neil, if you'll remember me, Margaret Gray, Neil, if you're listening, I say you were very courageous in what he said today.
Well, Neil Cavuto basically said, back the hell off, you know, grow up. President Obama acquitted himself in a respectful way. He was very respectful. Newt Gingrich has come out and said that Mandela was a great man and that Nelson Mandela had to fight through so much to attain even the small concessions that he did for his people. And Newt Gingrich, I'm sorry in my criticism of Newt Gingrich. I really loathe some of the things he said about Obama, but Newt Gingrich was right on the money, man. Can you believe this?
I don't believe Newt. I don't think he said that. I think there might have been...
Yeah, like, was there a dummy?
What do you mean if there was a dummy?
Well, do they have a dummy guy that say it?
A dummy guy? That's interesting.
Bud, don't do it, Bud.
But there could have been a dummy that said it.
Bud, this is General Shaw. I'm telling you, don't do it. You're sounding as if someone ought to come with a butterfly net, some of the things you're saying. Now, I want to ask you, Mr. Hendry.
What do you mean a butterfly net?
He means they're going to put you in a butterfly net, and they're going to put you in the back of a white van that says State of California, and they'll take you to a Tascadero.
No, they won't. You're not going to let them, will you, Mr. Henry?
No, they're not going to take... What do you mean, though, you know, a dummy?
Might have been a fake guy.
It ain't a fake guy. It was Newt Gingrich, and he said the following. That Nelson Mandela did what he the only thing he could do, and he asked the question in the beginning of his article. He said, what would you do if you were him? What would you... I got to tell you right now, there ain't an American that I've ever met in my life, and there's no American that's prominent in the liberal-conservative debate of today that
would be able to even walk in the shadow of this guy. And we're talking about 27 years in prison, battling a violent racist regime, trying to get freedom for a people that have been subjugated since the days of the colonies. I haven't met an American yet. I haven't seen one talking on TV. They're not a one. And that includes President Obama, that would be able to even carry this guy's jockstrap. So that means you name any conservative you want, name any liberal you want. Mandela was way out in front of everybody fighting for free. 27 years in prison in a South African prison, in an apartheid society. What do you think that was like?
Well, they probably were very violent with him.
No doubt. No doubt. He probably got his head slammed into a wall more times than I'm surprised the guy had any brains left. And Newt Gingrich, to his credit, and here's the thing. Gingrich, from all the brain surgeons on the right, and you know they're just so brilliant over there, he was taking heat from them. He said something that I thought took some guts. Thank God somebody is crossing, you know, reaching across the political divide in this country and saying, you know, here's a sort of a handshake, because I agree with you on this topic.
Well, I think you're dreaming if you think there's going to be some kind of a rapprochement. I doubt that will ever take place.
Well, now, hold just... This is America, and we fight primarily for our country.
You know, General, I'd like to believe you, but the way I'm seeing things, I would agree with Margaret, you know.
But you called her Maria.
No, I didn't. I was going to say America. Look, what are we doing now, General?
Well, there were two things you wanted to do, and I don't know what they are, but I have the song I'm going to sing.
Oh, yeah. Hit Me, Baby, One More Time. And then, oh, the insomnia thing and the child. Okay, yeah. So you want to sing...
Wait a minute. What is he doing?
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa there, lady. Don't say he. This is General Shaw. You know, don't talk about me, Margaret, as if I'm your crazy uncle that you've got to untether before I'm allowed to do anything.
I'm not saying anything... I'm simply asking what you're doing, and don't speak to me.
You know, you, Henry, I got to tell you something. You got a staff of the biggest sissy asses and tender asses I've ever seen.
I don't...
Margaret, what is up with you now?
I don't like being...
He yelled at her.
Did he yell at her? You want to go and blow your nose?
You go to hell.
Oh, how do you like that? Isn't that just like a woman?
I'll deal with you later, General.
Hey, Margaret, those threats...
It's not a threat.
All right, so General Galen Shaw here, who was listening, as we all were, very interested to the version of If Ever I Would Leave You there at the beginning of the show. And we are now going to hear General Shaw doing his version of Hit Me, Baby, One More Time. I don't know why that is.
Don't worry about it, okay, Henry? Let me cover the wherefores and the whys, all right? I'm General Galen Shaw, and this is... My oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right?
Hey!
Wasn't right here. I know what I'm doing. Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight. Yeah. Jesus.
Well, you wanted to do the song, didn't you?
How you want it to be. Tell me, baby. 'Cause I need to know now. Oh, because my loneliness is killing me. I'm bored.
Here you go.
You're gonna do what?
I'm gonna go get another Yoo-Hoo. Is there something wrong with that?
You're in the middle of a bit here.
Hit me, baby, one more time. What do you want me to do?
All right, turn it off.
Yeah, I'm gonna hear it.
Turn it off. I want to hear it.
You know, Henry, you want to make some kind of a contingency for when I get bored to tears with being on your show.
Yeah, how about this? You're fired.
Oh, look at the big man.
Well, you know, General, I thought it was funnier if he was going to do the Wind Cries Mary.
No. No way, Wind Cries Mary. You ain't going to do Wind Cries Mary.
Go Wind Cries Mary, man, not Wind Cry Mary.
What does Wind Chime Mary, and then you changed it.
The Wind Chime Mary?
Yeah, and then you changed it.
Who changed what? I didn't change anything. I didn't even write the song. How can I change it? You're nuts.
Now, what is that?
Oh, I see you've come back in now.
And
I was just... Can I look at it?
No, you may not look at it. I'm going to be reading from it.
So you're going to now torture me?
Yeah, because you walked out, said you're going to go put a tampon in.
Why, you filthy...
Let go of him, Margaret. Let go of him. Let go of him!
The next time
he... I didn't mean anything by it!
You almost choked him out.
You got it. He did it, he got it.
Man, you know something? I'm going to have a cop around. I'm going to have somebody arrested around here. Sorry, folks. I don't even know. What happened to the... Where are we here, man? Oh, you know what we did? We track overlaid. Sorry, folks, for you guys. Are you okay?
Am I okay? Ask him if he's okay.
You had your hands around his throat.
That's right.
Bud?
I said put a tampon in.
You want me to do it again? Because I...
Hey, now what's going on in here? I couldn't help but overhear as I was trying to find that... Now, I love the chocolate-flavored Yoo-Hoo, but I want the milk. Anything with chocolate in it, you know?
That's got the other one.
The what?
What are we doing here? A radio show or feeding you? She's choking him and you're doing what?
I'm looking for the chocolate milk, Kimasabi. Is that all right with you?
Good Lord.
All right.
I apologize for my violent outburst, but I don't like him using the word tampon.
All right, so you're doing it.
Margaret, half the time you're walking out of here asking where they are.
I never ask. If I ask, I say...
Oh, yeah. I got to wait for a commercial break. Look at this. Everything's ruined. All right, so you want to know what this is, huh?
Yes.
This is the See's Candy catalog. And I have this because just in case I need to order chocolates for any female that may be in my life at any point in the future, which it don't look like it. Thank you very much.
Well, nothing like going on the air and advertising it, Phil.
Well, no, I'm just saying. You asked me earlier what this was. Is it the See's catalog, and you wanted to see it?
Yes, so why are you talking about it now?
Because I'm bringing it here and showing it to people. Chocolate is like one of my... And See's, which is See's all over the country?
No, I don't think so. I think they only got it on the West Coast, and my grandmother knows where it is, too.
Yeah, that one me.
Well... See's chocolates are, I grew up with those. Now, I know in different parts of the country, we have different chocolate companies, you know. And the story that I read about Hershey's and Mars.
Hershey's.
You know something, Bud? At one time, Hershey's represented chocolate, not something else in your filthy, filthy toilet bowl of a brain. It means chocolate.
Yeah, Hershey.
Hey, Bud, grow up, man. Chocolate. Hershey's was the capital of chocolate.
Yeah, I'll bet it is.
All right. One more crack about that, man, and I swear to God, I'll choke you.
Yeah, man, and then it'd be like chicken choke because you're a chicken. No, you're a chicken.
Shut up. So, God, man, I'm this close to killing everybody here. They're going to, tomorrow morning, they're going to find me out front with a blood-soaked shirt and a machete in my right hand. I'll just be standing catatonic in front of the building as people are going to work, and they'll be calling on 911 and saying,
Phil, please don't do that.
No, you got to follow me out here now.
Well, go ahead, Phil, I like this.
You're going to follow me out. People are going to be driving to work, and they're going to be on their cell phones calling 911 very hurriedly and saying, hi,
911 operator.
Yes, there's a man out in front of a building here at the El Pacifico Beach. He's covered in blood. He's got a machete. And the door is half open, and... Well, it's where the Phil Henry Show does his show. And then the squad cars will pull up, and a cop will walk up to me. And he won't even walk up to me. There'll be three of them around a radio car, and they'll have their guns drawn, and they'll tell me to drop the machete. And I'll just be standing catatonic, and I'll be yelling, drop the machete, and they'll finally tase me. Okay?
Why are you doing this?
Because I'm telling what you guys are driving me to. Then they'll tase me, and then I'll be on the ground going, ugh.
That'd be pretty funny, you gotta admit. They tase you, and you're all like going,
Yeah, man, like that one guy, huh?
Yeah, like that one guy. And then they'll grab the machete from me, and they'll pick me up, and they'll throw me in the back of the radio. They'll probably get an ambulance to see what... And then,
Then comes the horror.
I don't even think this is funny.
Then comes the horror as the deputies with their guns drawn walk into the building, the studio, and that's when they see 100 empty boxes of seized chocolates, because that's what I ate. You guys left because you couldn't take it any longer.
Why are you covered with blood?
Because I slaughtered a pig or something. I don't know.
But isn't that funny? So in other words, you're not going to kill us.
Well, I didn't want to go all the way to that extreme because I figured you were already imagining it anyway.
Well, so in other words, you would.
I'm telling you right now, there are people that snap that way, okay? You better thank God that I'm not one of them.
Yeah, but how do you know you're not?
Because I know. I got too much of a... I don't know what it is that keeps a guy from flipping his lid and killing people, but do we got a break, Nikki? Yes, we do. Look at how late I am. All right, let's take a break here.
Well, you flipped enough to blow right through the break, if you'll pardon the expression, blow.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Here's a song that's kind of about me. This is Lucky Man by Emerson, Lake & Palmer, about a guy that blew his brains out. I'm kidding. We'll be right back. philhenryshow.com. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we're going to bring on the line here in just a second, Vernon Dozier, and we're going to be talking about the possibility of course we know, and maybe you do or maybe you don't, that there's going to be... Pardon me, I just dropped my...
Throw the bracket.
Yes, I dropped my brackets. There's going to be a playoff, a college football playoff starting next year. And there was a... article today online that I was reading theorizing what it would be like if the college football playoffs had as many teams as the college basketball playoffs, which starts with 64 teams, and what the bracket would look like, et cetera, so on and so forth. But the BCS system will be replaced next year with the BCS bowl system will be replaced next year with the playoff system. Now, I don't really know what conferences are going to be involved. I imagine that we'll be able to discern that from this. But Vernon Dozier, as you know, is our resident football coach. And as such, he's a good man to talk to when it comes to just analyzing football. We had Vernon on earlier in the week as we were talking about the your sissy hits of the week, Vernon, which I had a lot of feedback on. People really liked that, especially that the hit you were analyzing, Brandon Flowers.
Yeah, the Seattle Seahawks you have to keep that in mind. You know, don't ever think that you are some kind of a bad boy because you stuck some guy and it looked good on camera. Because as I said to my guys, you know, when I coach my players, I said, any tackle you make that looks like that had better separate the man from the football or you don't win my respect at all. I don't care. I mean, you might look good to your girlfriend and you might look good to your mama. You know, but I, brother, you don't look good to me at all. And I think a lot of times you have these players, such as that Stoddard, and they go out on the field to stick somebody, and the only one that's jumping up and cheering for them is the mama, you know, because that's what they want to do. They want to impress mommy. You know, I got to tell you something, Phil. It really bothers me.
I know, but you're making a very good point.
No, it really does bother me.
You're making a very good point. Players should go out and block. As Vince Lombardi said, you know, it's you know, football is blocking and tackling, and in order to block and tackle effectively, one must first learn to do both and do it well. And tackling means first of all stopping the ball carrier.
Yeah, you got to stop the ball carrier. First thing you got to do is drop that guy before he does any damage. Preferably drop him before he hits the line of scrimmage. Now, on pass play, of course, you can't always do that. But you do want to minimize the damage the offense is doing. You want to minimize the effectiveness of any offense. And to do that, to minimize the effectiveness of any offense, you have to play good, smart defense, whether it's man, whether it's zone, whether it's a combination of zone and man, whether you're doing a blitzing zone, whether it's a red, you know, all these different things. But you hit a man as hard as I saw that Seahawk hit Wes Welker, and he can't separate him from the football. You might as well go home and talk to your mama about that.
Okay, I wanted to get into some of these brackets.
Yeah, I'm sorry, get into what?
I want to get into some of this kind of fictitious bracket on the college football playoffs.
Yeah, no, I want to do that, but I want to make sure that your audiences understand what I'm saying here.
Oh, no, I think they do.
Yeah. You know, it's a matter of effectiveness. It's a matter of effectiveness, Phil.
Right.
It's a matter of tackling a man and, first of all, putting him down, okay? Don't ever hit a man. Don't ever put your hand anywhere near a man and not tackle him. If you're on my team, if you're on a Vernon Dozier-coached football team and you got your hand anywhere on him and you didn't tackle him, you're cut. And you can run home and start squealing to your mama. See?
Okay.
No, but you understand what I'm saying.
I do understand.
All right. Do you see what I'm... Because, Phil, what I'm saying here is very, very important. You know, I don't think you hear me.
I hear you. I do.
Well, I'm not getting that. I'm not getting it. And I don't want to talk about any playoffs until I start hearing that you understand what I'm saying.
Coach, I understand what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. If you have a chance, that is, you've got a hand on that man, then you better bring him down.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Because everybody else goes home and puts on their mama, put on her panties, put on her, you know, go home and play dress up with your mommy. That's what you do. That's what you do, and that's what everybody else do. See?
I understand that, Coach.
Coach Dozier, you seem to be lean. I'm a mother, and I feel a little offended by this.
Well, you know, look, Margaret, I don't mean anything by what I'm about to say, but yesterday you were talking about a son that is in the porn business.
My son, that's got nothing to do with this.
Well, I would say that if you have a son that is selling pornography out of a vault, I think you said a vault, which means he had to steal that from a mortuary, so he's a thief.
Excuse me.
So he's a thief, and he's got to be afraid of his mama, or he can't sell pictures of a woman's butt.
All right, hold on here, pal.
That man is uncontrollable.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. You know, he's talking, it's Coach Dozier talking with us about, he's feeling very passionate.
Are you going to talk about the playoffs? Are you going to let him sidetrack you?
We're going to talk about the playoffs, you know. 7 lonely days. Yeah, all right. General, you like this one?
Oh, my God, it's Elvis. I reached out one night. Yes. You were gone. Don't know why you ran.
All right, hold on.
What you're running to.
The world famous Phil Henry Show here at philhenryshow.com. Wow, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas elsewhere in the country.
Well, there's snow everywhere.
Yeah, there's snow everywhere, and there's it's a white Christmas. Out here out west, we can't complain. I'm not even attempting to do that, guys. I'm not even attempting to compare our weather to yours, but we have had a lot of wind. And generally, and it's been colder than normal here. I mean, you know, it got down to 37 degrees, I think. Where we are, where our studios are, and where a lot of us live is on the, in Ventura County, north of Los Angeles. And it particularly gets cold here in this part of the beach because the fog collects, the marine layer, and there's a lot of wind. And I believe that that's what, for those of you listening to us on radio, last night we think is what happened. Right, Bud?
Yeah, the wind probably knocked the line.
It was. We think that it was a just because this morning everything worked fine. We could not get a connection to our uplink studios either in Washington or in Denver, and as a result, we had to go with a Phil TV only show. We're glad to be back with you, though. On the line with me is Vernon Dozier from the from Belmar Academy, but I also have General Galen Shaw hanging on here because he has, you know, asked you wanted to sing a song. I thought you were going to do "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time."
Well, I did do Hit Me, Baby, One More Time, but when I was in the middle of it, I suddenly realized that I hated, and this is no comment on the song, but I hated myself for doing it.
What does that mean?
It means exactly what it says. I hated everything that I had become, standing here, a United States retired general, and going, ooh, baby, baby, are you kidding?
No, I understand. So what have you chosen?
Well, Bud... Hit it.
Yes, sir.
Bill, I've chosen... Well, where is it?
Oh, sorry. Let's see. Go.
Phil, I've chosen as my song,
Would you? Thank you. Put Vernon on hold, will you? Okay.
Yes, I've chosen my song, the Elvis Presley, which you just played as a bumpo music.
Seven
lonely days
and a dozen times ago, I reached out one night.
Can I talk it? Can you what? May I
don't
talk it? Can I talk? Turn it off.
Running to.
Call the whole thing off. Turn it off. I'm saying, may I talk it?
What do you mean, talk it, General?
I'm sorry, Margaret. I appreciate your question, but I don't think I was talking to you. I'm talking to him.
All right, but she's asked. Margaret's part of the show here, okay?
Yes.
I want to do it the way they do the, what do you call it in there? Seven Lonely Days. Like in the old R&B songs, when he, my darling, please believe me.
Oh, all right. I see what you're saying. You understand, bud?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not really sure. Sounds kind of far out to me.
Well, no one's asking you, Dickman, for your producing skill. Just play the song, will you?
Go ahead, bud, play it.
And take your... So this is Elvis Presley, Kentucky Rain, which I love this immensely because this happened to me. I was in a motel one night, and then the woman was gone.
Seven
lonely days
and a dozen
towns ago.
I reached
out one night, and my hand felt something warm. I'm sorry.
Don't know why you...
I'm reading the wrong thing.
What you're running to...
Hold on.
Kill it, bud.
What's going on anyway?
What are you doing, General?
I'm thinking of the wrong lyrics. I'm sorry.
Should we start all over again? What do you want to do?
Yes, from the top, please.
General, we're burning daylight.
Oh, well, excuse me, Big John. I didn't know we're going down in the mine, and we got to be out before the canary dies. You'll pardon me if I'm trying to get my production helmets lined up.
You're what?
Never mind. Dickman, all I need is Bud Dickman and this song, and I'm a happy man.
Well, that's the first time I've ever heard anything like that.
Thank you very much, General. I appreciate it.
It's all right.
Now, everyone shut your mouth. Everyone close the hole under your nose and let me do this thing.
Seven lonely days and a dozen donuts ago.
God, what are you doing? I'm thinking of a woman that I...
What, a woman that ate donuts?
Well, I guess so. All I know is I want to bring you home.
Bring you home.
Yes, and so I'm walking through the rain, thumbing
for a ride
on a lonely Kentucky back road.
I've loved you much too long.
My love's too strong. I'm going to the radio station and doing a lost pet report.
Never knowing.
I'm sorry.
Get it out of here, will you? I've got the wrong lyrics.
Yeah.
Are you trying to make a joke or something?
That's what it sounds like.
Why do you say that?
I'm going to the radio station for a lost pet report. What's he looking for?
My understanding is he's looking for a lost dog. What are you telling me?
Isn't that about a woman?
Well, it happened to me it was a woman, yes. But when Elvis sang the... Mr. Henry, I would caution you, sir. Don't talk to me like I'm a buck private.
I'm sorry, General. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what do you think it is, anyway? You gotta be respectful to generals.
Well, you guys don't understand. The General's flipping his lid here.
I'm not flipping my lid at all. I'm telling Henry that I thought the song was written about a hamster or I don't know.
That's right. That's exactly what it's about. Elvis Presley did a big-selling record called Kentucky Rain because he lost a hamster.
Kentucky Rain?
What is that, Rain?
Rain! Rain. It's about a hamster that was lost, right?
That was my understanding. When I sent away for the lyrics, I asked for an explanation of the song, and they said, really? And I said, yes. That was two letters. And then they sent a third, and they said, okay. Well, here's what it's about. And it's Elvis lost a pet rodent of some kind, and he's walking in the Kentucky rain looking for it. You know something?
I understand, General. I feel the same way.
I'm not going to waste my time with a dumbass like you.
Elvis Presley's walking in that Kentucky rain looking for a lost rodent. That's what it is.
That was my understanding.
Then how did you get the whole thing about I reached out one night and felt something warm and soft?
What do you think maybe he reached out and felt the hamster? Oh!
Yeah, you got me on that one, General.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stop off at the radio station for a lost pet report. Okay, Vernon Dozier is with us. How about that, Vernon?
I'll tell you, there's nobody like the... No one like the General. I got it. And I love that song, if the General's listening. General, I love that song.
Well, I thank you very much.
I do, and it's a great song, and...
I like it, too. I like it, too. It's one of my favorite Elvis songs. It's very poetic.
It is. It's just a... It's like a hobo thing, you know, you're just out. I think it comes from a time and a place, Phil, when we could go out on the highway and hitchhike and travel around the country looking for whatever, you know, our lost youth or whatever this bullcrap is. But
all right, so we've got the football playoff thing. You want to talk about that?
Well, sure, I'd like to talk about it. Let me get my glasses, because I have the brackets in front of me. Now, next year, they're going to do a playoff, and I think that that's fine. That's all fine and dandy. They play in, what are the four regions, 16 teams apiece. For conferences with a championship game, the two divisional winners automatically make the bracket. Independent teams receive no automatic bids but are considered by merit. These are the rules for a 64-team bracket in the 2013 National Championship in basketball. But I think that this would not work for football.
Now, why is that? Just too many teams, right?
Well, you. First of all, Phil, let's look at it this way. Football is a shorter season, absolutely. Basketball and hockey and sports like that, even college basketball, which I don't know how many games college basketball, 30 games, something like that. I don't follow basketball.
So maybe.
All right, so that's roughly one. It's not even a half. I mean, that's like, I don't know, it's just under a half of what the pros play. Pros play 82 games in a season. But nonetheless, there are a substantial number of games, so you need to have some kind of a playoff system. And you need to involve a lot of teams because of the number of games you're playing. But in football, you're only playing, in college football, you only play 12 games a season. In the pro game, you play 16. Now, that's not a lot of games, comparatively speaking, which means you don't need a big, long list of teams to make the playoffs. In the National Football League, you've got 4-2. That's 6 teams per conference. And do you realize that's 12 teams? You got 32 teams in the National Football League, 32. So, you know, I think the NFL has the purest playoffs of any sport because, you really got to be something to make the playoffs in the NFL. You got 4 division winners and you got 2 wild cards, and that makes 6 teams out of one conference of 16 teams. That's not even
close to half. Whereas in the NBA and in the NHL. It seems like a little more than half the teams make the playoffs.
Well, there's a lot of them. No way can you keep that kind of purity in the college game if you've got all these teams making the playoffs. So the guy that wrote this article, and I don't know who it is, and just do me a favor, will you? Don't even tell me who it is. That'll save me from a homicide charge.
Well, what does that mean?
It means that people like this burn me, you know.
You know something? I know exactly what you mean, Coach, because I was talking to Dickman, and I said, who's the guy, you know, I don't want that, not Robert Goulet, but whoever wrote that Hit Me Baby One More Time. And then I said, don't even tell me, Dickman, save me from a homicide charge.
Exactly, exactly. So,
all right, hold on for a minute, guys. We'll take a break. General Shaw, very good.
Are you plagiarizing me?
You mean condescending?
Yes, are you condescending?
No, I'm not condescending, but you got some, you and Vernon, man, with this save me from a homicide charge. I should never have showed you guys clockers. All right, we'll be right back with more from Vernon Dozier here as we continue talking about the possibility, not the possibility, but the reality of playoffs in college football, a college football playoff system will inaugurate next season, and this is the last season of the BCS Bowl. So
you kidding me? I didn't know. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, this is the last season for the BCS Bowl system. Next year, it's a playoff system. We'll be right back. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show. PhilHenryShow.com.
Well,
Welcome back to World Famous Phil Henry Show. Do you want to do this, General? Is this the song?
Yes, as long as Margaret sings the song.
This is ridiculous.
Hold on. Well, no, hold on. If you can just... I love this. Get your mind together.
Mind together.
And come on along with me.
This is absolutely irresponsible.
Hold your hand and watch the sunrise. Get this one here. From the bottom of the sea. Yeah, but first, you know, are you experienced? Huh?
Does this mean you've done drugs?
Wouldn't you like to know? Yeah. Have you ever been experienced? I have. Okay? That's the part that I like, Phil.
All right, take it easy, General.
No, I'm not going to take it easy. I have. I know you'll probably scream and cry, won't you, Margaret?
Don't point your finger at me. You're intimidating me.
That's right. Your little world won't let you go. But who in your measly little world are you trying to prove that you're made out of gold and your stuff doesn't stink?
The words.
Yeah. Well, are you experienced?
Experience.
No, I don't think you are.
You done?
Yes, I've done.
General Galen Shaw.
All right, General, that's bitching.
Yeah, pretty good, General.
Yeah.
That's right. I've been wanting to say that for a long time.
So you're saying that I'm not experienced?
I'm just saying, as Jimi Hendrix said for me, are you ex? But first, are you experienced? Doon, da da doon, da da doon.
Well, don't get so crazy, General. I fear for your health, you know.
I'm fine. I'm in great shape, all right? Tell you right now, anybody wants a piece of me, they can have it. Because that's how I'm feeling right now.
Oh, are you threatening me, a woman?
Am I threatening you, a woman? You walked right into that one, didn't you? You want to put your hands around my throat?
General, I...
No. Now, you know... But who in your measly little world are you trying to... At first, are you experienced? No, I don't think you are. Doon, 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 have you ever been?
You know, General, I would be willing to bet you've had a couple of snorts. Am I right?
I had some of the... Oh, I see. So a man's not allowed to have a little Kessler's smooth as silk. Is that it?
You can have whatever you want, but I'm just saying, you know, like my good close personal friend Mike Crozier used to say... I can smell booze on that guy, and that's not necessarily wrong, see?
Well, all right, then maybe I did have a snort.
All right, just tell me. Kessler's, huh?
Smooth as silk, my friend. Well, I tell you, I see those Kessler's, the billboard, and brother, my mouth begins to water.
Why is he allowed to come in here hammered?
I'm not hammered at all.
Well, he's not hammered, but you're very animate. All right, let's get Vernon Dozier back on the line here as we continue talking here about our football playoffs, Vernon.
Yeah, and hey, listen, General, I thought that that song was very... The general is doing things tonight and saying things tonight. I think he speaks for one holy hell of a lot of us.
Well, you're certainly welcome.
And I want to thank you, General, very much.
So what is this ganging up on Margaret Knight?
Margaret, I don't even think it's... personal.
Yeah, there you go. It's not even personal, Ms. Gray. So why don't you get off your high horse and your high hat and your hard hat and your just don't do it.
You know, Margaret, what he's saying is, and I think it's a great song. Jimmy, have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. You see?
There you go. That's there, right there.
That's right. And then I know, you'll probably scream and cry.
I know the lyrics to the song.
No, I don't think you do. And look at Margaret, I'm not trying to single you out, but I think there's a lot of people listening to the show tonight that really need to take to their bosom the message here of General Shaw. Have you ever been experienced? Well, I have. And I can tell you I have seen the sunrise from the bottom of the sea. Now, do you know what that means, Phil?
You tell him. You tell him, Coach.
Do you know what it means, Phil?
Seen the sunrise from the bottom of the sea? No.
No, I don't think you have. That means that a man, if you've seen the sunrise from the bottom of the sea, you've been places, you have witnessed things that other men can only guess at. Do you remember that robot from, what do you call that movie, General? You and I watched it together that night.
Oh, God. I love that Blade Runner.
There you go, Blade Runner.
Oh, that film was disgusting.
Blade Runner was... I loved everything about it.
Blade Runner was... And the robot said, I have seen moons rising above the whatever the hell. I don't know where that robot had been. I can't even guess at the things that robot knew. But I found myself walking out of that movie theater when General Shaw and I went to that revival house.
Where did you guys see this?
Where did you guys see this?
Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm listening to you. Where did you see it? You saw it in a theater. You can rent the thing.
We saw it at that revival house in Los Feliz.
You know the one that you told us you saw freaks at?
That place?
Yes, that place.
What, are you the only guy that can be cool enough to go to a revival? Go to, like, a film festival or what kind of crap you call it?
No, I just didn't know you guys went to see it.
Well, we did.
Thanks for inviting me.
We didn't want you tagging along. How do you feel about that?
It's fine.
So anyway, but I saw it in that robot in Android, what the hell that thing is called.
Well, it's based upon the Philip K. Dick novel, which is Do Electric Sheep Dream of, or Do Men Dream of Electric Sheep?
That's it, yeah. Do men dream, do robots, I forget what it's called.
I know what it is. Do robots dream of electric sheep?
No, but they didn't say robot.
They said android. Philip K. Dick's book is Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
No. It's Does a Robot... Well, yeah, that's...
Do you even know the book I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, in any event, so what about it?
What about it? you love it, General?
You know, Phil, there's things that you can't even guess at. Things that you can't even imagine. Seeing the sun... Jimi Hendrix is telling us... forget it.
Yeah, it's getting it.
Hello?
I'm going to go get some... I got to go... Is that In-N-Out still open?
You going to In-N-Out?
Yeah, I am.
You get me a double-double with cheese?
And what, do you want fries with that, too?
Hey, wait a second. Are you taking dinner orders here? We're on the air.
All right. You want something?
No, I don't.
Margaret?
Can you get me one of the... Just a chocolate shake.
All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, General, give me some fries and double-double.
Animal style?
Will you come on? You know, you guys encourage that.
Is that going out to In-N-Out?
Yeah, I know he's going to In-N-Out. Does that mean he's got to start taking orders here?
Well, Phil, you had pretty much shot your wad with that whole Philip K. Dick androids dreaming of...
I didn't bring it up. Vernon did, and then he hangs up. Love it.
Yeah, well, I pretty much shot his wad on the whole thing.
And please just allow me to use certain phrases on this show.
What?
That one that he just used.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I think is actually a very crude phrase, and it's amazing that that phrase has somehow transferred into polite society. Coming up, we're going to have Ted Bell along with Dean Wheeler. They'll be talking about offensive team nicknames and the discovery of a baseball team that had an offensive nickname offensive to white people. That's right. And that's coming up next hour here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Make sure you go to our website, philhendryshow.com, for gift subscriptions, for a double tier of goodness, baby, two different tiers of subscription, our online store. It's Christmas time. Do some shopping. You are all the woman I need, and baby, you
know me. But first, are you experienced?
Get off it, will you, General?
You'd love me to get off it.
And the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And this hour we have Ted Bell, and we also have our good friend Dean Wheeler. And this is the Go-Go's, Margaret.
I recognize that God, but aren't they sweet? They are the cutest little... And you know that Kathy Valentine and I are... We talk.
Well, good. That's nice.
What, are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous.
You're all big names, Margaret.
I know quite a few, and Kathy is a sweetheart. She lives in Austin, Texas. She comes to Los Angeles quite often.
It's just when you do the whole... Yeah.
Well, I'm so sorry, Phil, that I know people and you don't.
Yeah. Woo! Way to hit the post on that, Margaret.
Well, you know something. Make fun if you want.
I know people, and you don't.
Yeah, you hit the post on that one.
You don't even know what hitting the post is. You probably think it's placing a bet.
Yeah, hitting post time. All right, so anyway, thank you very much for that. That's fantastic, Margaret. God bless you. And thank you, Go-Go's. All right, we have with us now, you got it, my main man with the master plan, Ted Bell.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
You got it, you got it, you got it. Ted Bell here, Ted of Beverly Hills. Boy, the college football season, the pro football season, there's never been a better time than to drink at Ted's.
Here at Ted's.
Beverly Hills.
Do you want to put our meat in your mouth?
Why do you say Beverly? Everyone knows it's Beverly Hills.
Excuse me?
Why do you say Beverly Hills? Everyone knows that.
Yeah, I couldn't understand you, Mark. Why do you say Beverly? Everyone knows Beverly Hills. I don't understand that.
Okay, let's please not start.
No, I'm not going to start. I say Beverly Hills, Margaret, to reemphasize the fact that I'm Ted Bell, and my restaurant is in Beverly Hills, and, you know, and Hong Kong Charlie,
go ahead.
Hong Kong Charlie is, you know, this the day that man got the lease on the old Bromere building down here on Rodeo is the day that I should have ended my life. And I don't mean end my life literally. I mean I should have ended my life as a restaurant owner, not because he's a better restaurant owner than me, but if I get one person walking in here and saying, hey, you know, Hong Kong Charlie's got that, it's a good thing that I don't eat Chinese food every night because he's got this bag on the Hong Kong Charlie, and then he calls me up. And I will say this right now, Charlie, if you're listening. When you call my home after 11 o'clock at night, and you blurt into the, can I play one of the tapes, Phil?
What is this?
It's Hong Kong Charlie calling my home phone, and my wife saves these messages. And he calls my home phone, I don't know, every so often, just to say this stuff. Here is, you got it? Okay. All right, this is from Wednesday, or December, go.
Hey, Ted Bell, hold on, Charlie, we got beef and broccoli, hold on, Charlie, Ted Bell.
Did you hear that? Phil, did you hear that?
Yeah, what was that?
It was Hong Kong Charlie.
Well, don't yell, Ted, what did he say?
He's talking about beef and broccoli, you didn't hear that.
Yeah, Ted, I heard that, yes.
All right, here's another one. I can't hear anything. Will you guys keep it down? Well, I'm in the kitchen here. Let me go into my office. Let me go to my office, Bill. All right.
Oh, Ted Bell, I'm Johnny here, Ted Bell. Hey, Ted Bell, woo! Ted Bell, woo! Ted Bell, woo! Hong Kong Charlie, Hong Kong Charlie. Best price in all of Beverly Hills, woo! Hong Kong Charlie, Hong Kong Charlie.
Can you believe that guy? He's a maniac.
That's harassment, Ted, and you need to call the phone company.
Well, no, I can't because I told him and he stopped doing it. It's not, he didn't think that he was doing anything wrong. I mean, I guess I could, you know.
Well, if he's doing that all the time.
No, he did it a couple, and then I said, don't do it anymore, Charlie, or I'm going to shove your face into that deep fryer you got.
Oh, Ted, you can't say something like that. That's a threat.
You better believe it's a threat. You better believe it's a threat.
Well, was he harassing your home?
He was calling up and saying to Marcy, hey, I got a message for Ted. Would you not pick up?
Well, then she... Okay.
Well, you don't call that harassment.
Your wife knows him, right?
Yeah, we both do.
All right, so you guys know him, and he called up and said, I got a message for Ted.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I don't call that harassment, then.
You don't call that harassment when the guy's going, hey, listen to this one here. Hold on, Phil.
No, Ted...
No, come on, hold on. Hold on. This is from last Tuesday. All right.
Hey, Ted Bell, I'm Johnny here. You know what's something, Ted Bell? Can I park a car over your place? Because I got overflow lot tonight. I need place to park a car. It looks like you don't have that much business. Look like...
All right, here.
Yeah, you hear that one? That got me so flustered that I came on mic instead of on the phone. You heard that one, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So now what he's doing is he's busting my castanets over overflow parking, and can he use my lot? Woo! Boy, that guy, I tell you, that is in my business, and especially when you're doing business with me, Ted Bell, and you say something like that, friend, have a care. That's all I get to say.
Ted, it sounds to me, in the parlance of the boys, that he's busting your castanets, as you and Phil like to say, nothing more.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of, it's trash talk, Ted.
What do you mean it's trash talk?
It's trash talk. It's just trash. You guys know each other? You told him to stop calling your home. He stopped. He's not doing anything other than trash talking with a competitor, a guy that you know. You know, and you, as far as I understand, didn't you host his daughter's prom dinner?
Yeah, Yeah. What do you got? Oh, here we go. So you're going to mean, that means, in other words, that I owe him?
No. I'm saying that the families obviously are conversing with each other. You got a problem with him. I understand that. But you've got his daughter there, and it was her. Was it a prom? What was it?
No, it was a graduation dinner.
Okay, and there's Charlie using your restaurant.
Oh, so what am I supposed to do there now? I got to get down on my knees? I got to get down. Phil, do you understand what's going on in the world these days? And I don't mean anything racial by this, and I want your audience to understand. But do you understand that I'm a white man getting on my knees to a yellow man?
Would you say that a little louder, Ted, so that everyone can hear you?
No, I will not.
Ted.
I'm just saying, Phil.
That does sound racist.
Wait a minute. You know me. I'm not a racist.
Well, all right. Then prove it and take that back.
What are you talking about?
Well, you got to take it back. It's just a statement of fact.
A statement of what fact? A white man getting down on his knees to a yellow man.
Phil, you understand the history of this country. You understand that there was a time when the Chinese came into this country, they were taking jobs from me. We had to have an Andy.
Oh, look at who's balling now.
Ted, now you stop. This is General Shaw. Stop it.
General Shaw.
You stop that right now.
Phil, I'm just saying to you, I'm begging you, I'm pleading with you, okay? You're telling me that just because our families are friendly with each other, that when Hong Kong Charlie calls up to bust my castanets, I gotta get on my knees? Do you know?
Ted, would you grow up, man? You're not getting on your knees to anything, all right? The guy's breaking your... Are you seeing a slowdown in business?
That's not the point.
Yeah, that is the point. Are you seeing a slowdown in business?
Can I finish what I'm saying here? That's not the point. The point is that I got to get on my knees to a white man.
This is absolute racism. You say you're kidding, but it's racism.
No, it is not. No. I got friends, okay? I got friends of mine over at the Beverly Hills Automobile Association. I got friends of mine that I golf with, and they're looking at me. You know, all right, I'll give you an example. Ben Flagg, okay? I'm golfing with him at Riviera the other day. And he's giving me this look out of the side of his face, and I'm saying, you know, I don't know what his problem was. I was golfing pretty well, but I wasn't beating him, and it was a skins game, okay?
All right.
So finally he's looking at me, he says... He said, let me ask you a question, Ted. What do you're a white man, and you're bending over for a Chinese guy? Just like that.
And what did you say?
I said, no, I wasn't. I said that I was handling it.
Oh, what? Ted, you're not even a man. If you answer somebody like that...
Oh, wait. I'm not a man.
No, who is this guy Ben Flagg?
A longtime business associate of mine. Don't start talking crap about him, okay? He's a big-time supplier.
Oh, yeah, but this guy is golfing with you and saying stuff like that, huh?
What do you want me to do?
What I'd like you to do is do what anybody would. I would do it. I if he's a friend of mine, I'd probably put it in a friendly way. I'd say, yeah, that's what I'm doing, man. I mean, and then I'd kid him about, you know, when did you ever turn into the 21st century version of the Anti-Chinese League? Something like that.
Okay, I'm not as witty as you. Excuse me for breathing. I'm not as charming and witty as Phil Hendry. I can't think of this stuff.
Ted, this hasn't got anything to do with you thinking things up. This has to do with you defending yourself as a reasonable person. When this man said to you, are you bending over?
Well, what would you say?
Well, first of all, I'd love to meet the man that says to me, let me tell you something, and I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell Phil this, and whoever wants to hear this can hear it. What Jodi Arias did was absolutely brutal and wrong, and I'm glad she's going to prison, and you know I'm anti-death penalty, Phil. I hope she gets the death penalty.
I don't think she did she?
I don't know.
Well, I hope they reverse themselves, whatever. But any man that says that to me, he's gonna...
Are you telling me you'd corner him in a shower?
No, I didn't say corner him in a shower.
Well, that's exactly what you'd have to do.
All right, I'd corner him in a shower.
So how'd you get him in a shower?
Oh, why don't you shut up?
Hey, you got him in a shower. Yeah, hey, you got him in a... Ow!
Watch it.
So anyway, Ted...
Look at Phil. I'm just telling you what Ben Flagg said. Now, Ben is a good old boy. He's a good old guy. Long time busy. Sent to me. He said, look, it's none of my business, Ted. And if you want to tell me to stick it way, way up there and twist it and then pull it out a little and then jam it up again... Okay, then go ahead. And I said to him, could you repeat that?
Would you tell me what the conversation was?
So the guy said, he said to me, you tell me, but it seems kind of funny this Hong Kong Charlie is calling your house and talking about overflow parking and all of this, and you're a white man? Wow.
All right, hold the line, Ted Bell, and we got to get Dean Wheeler on here. We are running so late.
Nikki, we apologize, dear. We didn't...
We're running late. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more. I don't even know if we're going to have time to get to half of the stuff that that I want to get to. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. Get a gift subscription for the one you love to our website this holiday season. World-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Guess it's time to bust out the Christmas music here and the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Ted Bell is on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. We're going to get Dean Wheeler up here as well, but we've had a rather spirited conversation with Ted about Hong Kong Charlie, who's just opened up his restaurant. And it's very interesting to me that a couple of guys whose families get along great, you've hosted his daughter's graduation dinner, your wife talks to Charlie's wife, and you two guys are at each other's throat to the point of this racial banter.
Whoa. You know something? I've been listening to this now, and you guys have been... It's not racist.
Well, when you sit there and you go, a white man kissing up on a Chinese guy...
I said, all I asked you was, how did you feel about seeing a fellow white man on his bended knee to a yellow man? Do you understand?
A yellow man? Do you hear what you're saying?
Do you hear what you're saying?
Are you listening to you? God, man.
Well, all right, Ted. So Phil's voice cracked. What about it?
Hold on for a minute. I want to jump in on this. I want a piece of this.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
It's General Shaw is who it is. Now, I'll tell you something right now. I've fought in a variety of wars against every race known to man, and I've commanded every race. But the one race that matters to me is the human race.
Very pretty, General. Very pretty. But not effective. And
hold on for a minute there, Bell. Now, we had a great many allies in the Korean War and so on and so forth that were Asian. And you, it takes a big pair on a guy like you. Now, you know.
What? What does that mean?
General, where are you going?
I was going to go get another Nilla wafer.
You know, I think he's senile.
I do, too.
Well, then, what do you got the poor old man on the air for, okay? I feel bad for him.
All right. Let's get Dean Wheeler up here before we all go nuts, okay?
Yeah, I'd love to talk to Dean.
All right, and Dean Wheeler is with us from the Northern California Holistic Society. Dean, how are you?
Hi, Phil. I've been enjoying the conversation very much. And Ted, how are you?
I'm doing well. Dean, I want to just mention, we're supposed to be debating or discussing offensive racial names for sports teams. Now, you know that the team that I'm asking you, the team that you wanted me to research was the Atlanta Crackers, is that it?
Yes, that's correct. The Atlanta Crackers, they played in Atlanta, Georgia from 1901 to 1965.
All right, now who goes first?
I don't care. You can if you want.
You let me go first?
Go right ahead, yes.
All right. The Atlanta Crackers, that is a classic example of how white people have been maligned. Now, not only did I have to get on bended knee to some Fu Manchu...
Whoa, wait a minute, man. Okay, hold on.
See, this is the way it's going to go.
No, what do you mean this is the way it's going to go?
Forget about your experience. We're talking about a whole different topic now.
Okay.
Go ahead.
The Atlanta Cracker baseball team, Phil, was a baseball team that obviously was named after a derogatory term about white people. Now, what does cracker mean? Very simply this. It means that you are a piece of white garbage. Not trash. Garbage. You are nothing more than, let's say the garbage is a diaper filled with baby doo. And put legs on it and put arms on it.
Well, that would be a baby.
And it would be, well, yeah, you're right.
I get the idea.
Okay, well, hold on, Dean. I'm not, you know. Let's take another piece of garbage. Let's say it's a box that's stained with, oh, God, it's a box stained with fetid, stinky, rotten meat. Put a head and legs and arms on that. Well, you could put one arm on it if it's a one arm. You know what I'm saying? Or let's say...
Okay, we got the example.
All right, well, do you mind if I just roll it out the way I want to roll it out?
Go ahead. I think Ted is entitled to, Phil.
All right. I mean...
Somebody give Phil a Xanax, please. Thank you. Now, That's what the Atlanta Crackers called themselves, and the fans that came out to see them, the white fans, were basically being told every single day that they sat in the stands of the Atlanta Crackers, "Hi, Cracker. Hi, Garbage. Welcome to the team that's garbage." And if there were black fans in the stands, of which I'm sure there were some, the black fans are sitting there going, "Ha, ha, ha, this is the greatest inside joke I've ever seen. Ha, 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 ha." Okay? So that's all I've got to say. It was an insult, and every day a white fan went to that ball game, he got his face cuffed forward and backward 3 times. And if it was a sellout, it was a gigantic hand. Not really, but figuratively, a gigantic white-gloved hand, because that's what they wore in the South. You know, they wore the white gloves, Phil.
What do you mean?
The minstrel shows, right?
Well, what's that got to do with the white crackers?
Oh, well, that's true. But anyway, there's a big white hand just going slap, 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 all the way across the stadium, like the wave, only it's a slap across the face.
Okay, Dean Wheeler.
Well, Phil, thank you. That was a very colorful description. But let's now talk about reality. A cracker, as it pertains to 18th century southern United States, and there was no United States until the latter part of the 18th century, a cracker was denoted a Scottish or Irish immigrant that was rather itinerant. And one of the things that was featured by these people was their ability to tell a story. They were raconteurs. They were boastful. And that's what a cracker was. This is attested to in many letters going between North America and England at the time, one of which made its way to the King of England, saying, "Your Majesty, they have here in the southern part of the United States what are known as crackers. And these are our Irish and Scottish subjects who have moved to this part of the world and tell these stories and are very boastful people. And they're rather roguish and renegades." So they did about the only negative you could apply to them was that they were considered to be roguish and renegade. I hardly think that that is a racial epithet. I think it's rather charming, and if you will, I think it's a term of admiration. However, it'd be roguish, as I say, and renegade-like, and rascal, you know, and rascally, and everything like that.
Yeah, rascally. Okay, so what is it, roguish or rascally?
No, it's a rascal.
All right, so they were a rascal. So see, he walked where he stepped in his own. He just took a dump and then stepped in it. You see what I'm saying, Phil?
No, I do not see what you're saying.
I'm saying what he just said was that they were considered to be rascals. Now, the term rascal today sounds very benign. It sounds like a little kid that likes to just dump paint on people or kick them in the rear, you know, kick them in the, you know, the you-know-what. But back in the day, rascal was the same thing as saying scumbag or psychopath. So if, for instance, they had a TV show back in the 18th century called The Little Rascals, you'd be talking about a TV show called The Little Scumbags. You understand?
Sure. Sure, I understand.
Well, what's the...
Just take a break, Phil.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, okay?
Yeah, okay, you take a break. That's the same thing as saying stick it up.
All right, yeah, we will take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What about The Little Rascal?
Well, The Little Rascals was a TV show, man.
Yes, but he's not saying that. Are you listening? What the man is saying that there would have been a time it would have been considered the little scumbag, two-bit, mumbling, stuttering.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. Are we going to wrap this up?
Don't look at me. You're the one that booked it.
Well, I booked it, technically. Well, I think they should be given a few more minutes to wrap up.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Are they going to wrap up?
Yeah, let them wrap up.
All right, when we come back, sorry, I bumped the microphone. When we come back, they're going to wrap up, and then we'll be off into the wild blue yonder and do some other kind of thing, and I'm not sure what it'll be. It's the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. It's that time of year. It's Crystalmas. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I love this. Is this Burl Ives?
I'm sorry?
Is this Burl Ives?
Don't yell, Margaret. Yes, it's Burl Ives.
Have a holly, jolly Christmas.
I
and the happy time of year.
I don't know if there'll be snow.
Oh, I love Burl. You know, Frank and I had Burl over one day.
But he did he eat everything in that refrigerator?
Turn it off. Do you want to say that again?
All right, now hold on for a minute, because if anybody's hands go around anyone's throats...
Anyone's throats?
Yeah, what's that mean?
If anybody...
I just want to ask him, say it again. Go ahead, say it again, I dare you.
I said that he eat everything in a refrigerator.
So in other words, you're saying Burl Ives was a hog. A big fat hog. Is that it?
I seen him one time, he looked fat.
Well, you seen him one time. Burl Ives was one of the finest of our actors, as well as a musician. He was an all-around raconteur. We're talking about raconteurs, aren't we? Well?
He was a cracker?
I don't know if he was a cracker. But if you say anything against Burl Ives, Bud, you're getting on the fighting side of me, okay?
And when you walk down the street...
You know that Merle Haggard song, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Dee-dee, and you see the elves and everything. This is a wonderful song. Ho, see, all the traditional ho, ho, ho.
That's got great stuff in it.
Oh, does it?
Waits for you. Kiss her once for
according to Phil, it has all the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
And in case you wouldn't know.
You just said a case of what?
You know, like a case of clap?
A case of clap. Turn it off. You've ruined it all. Turn it off. I can't.
Why did you guys say that?
Mr. I heard him say, and you're going to have a case of something.
Yeah, he said clap.
He didn't say clap. Phil, I don't.
She's going.
I'm going for the white owls. I'll be right back.
She's going to get a white owl.
What does that mean? Does she smoke those cigars out there? Or because I was looking for the white owls.
I can show you where they are, General.
Yes, lead me to the... I'd like to have a cigar right about now. I'm so sick and tired and fed up with the whole thing.
All right. That leaves you and me, Robert, which is fine with me.
Yeah, well, I've got to get Ted Bell back on, though.
Oh, God, that's right. Ted Bell back with us is sponsoring this segment of the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And our final segment with Ted and Dean Wheeler as they talk about, well... Crackers.
Come on down here to Ted's of Beverly Hills while we last, because Hong Kong Charlie, I'm sorry, Phil. Hong Kong Charlie is up the street. There's not a problem. Go have your Chinese food. I don't give a...
Here at 10,
man.
What?
You know, it's like you're giving up or something, man. You're very petulant, Ted, and I don't think it plays very well. Also on the line with us is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. All right, so we've rolled out essentially the pros and the cons. Dean, you have said that the term cracker, as it applied to the Atlanta Cracker baseball team, was actually a positive term. It denoted a raconteur or a roguish storytelling Irishman or Scotsman, and they were very well known to the southeastern part of the United States in the 18th century. Ted, you have said that cracker is actually a derogatory term, that the ball club really didn't care. They just embraced the term as a way of reaching out to the everyman. But in point of fact, it means poor white trash. And so you're not buying it. So, Ted, I'll let you now kick off round two in your defense of your point of view.
Well, Phil, thank you very much. I am Ted Bell. And as Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California, I just got done telling you that I have a competitor up the street by the name of Hong Kong Charlie. And every day he looks down the street, and yes, Phil's right, our families are friendly. Charlie is not a half-bad guy. But I know every day he walks out the front door of Hong Kong Charlie's, he looks down the street. And when I say looking down the street, he's looking down the street as if he's standing on the Great Wall of China and looking down on some dirty, stinky, smelly guy that just got off a ship from San Francisco, and he's thinking... if you don't mind me doing a little bit of a, and I don't mean this derogatorily, but he's thinking, look like me, you know, whatever Chinese, he sees me in irons. He sees me in a dungeon in irons, all right, and I've got a bag of spice and silk that I can't sell.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. I don't know, really know what point you made there, but...
I made a very good point. What are you, crazy or something? I'm telling you that Hong Kong Charlie sees me as a cracker. He sees me as poor white trash. Hong Kong Charlie's looking down the street. He's on the top of the Great Wall of China, and I'm standing down there, a stinky, stanky, smelling sailor from North America. I got crabs. I got venereal disease. He can't wait to throw me in a dungeon, lock me up, and take my very precious petrodollars.
Okay. Dean?
Well, thank you very much, Phil. That was very interesting, Ted, although it had no real bearing on reality. The reality is that Cracker is, as I mentioned, and I'm using the scholarship here, a beneficial and beneficent term about the roguish, rascally Irish and Scots. Now, I did hear when you were going into your commercials there, Phil, someone said that a rascal was a psychopath or a scumbag.
Yeah, that was me.
Was that you, Ted?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, that's not true either. A rascal is simply an individual who's trying to get over on someone else, but that's not what cracker means. Renegade may be a better term, and a renegade perhaps at one time or another might be a highwayman, but not a universal description of that.
Oh, so when you say a renegade, rascal, or excuse me, not rascal, crackers were also considered to be highwaymen, robbers, things like that?
There were some, yeah, because the cracker in the 18th century was an itinerant, and so he traveled from town to town. In much the same way that I just heard the Elvis, you guys were singing Elvis Presley, going from town to town, thumbing a ride, looking for a rodent.
No, he wasn't looking for a rodent. That was some hallucination Henry had.
No, that was General Shaw.
That was me, Bell. You want to make something out of it?
No, I don't want to make anything out of it, but you were the guy singing it.
That's right. I happen to like that song. 7 Lonely Days and 100 Rodents. Not 100 Rodents, but the idea, my understanding, and now Phil tells me it isn't so, my understanding was the song was about a man who lost some animal, a dog.
It's not about a dog, General. It's about a woman.
Well, all right. You call...
Henry, you teed that one up for the general. He was about to hit it out, then he stepped away from the plate and decided to just dust off his pants and check for signs at third base because, oh, baby, you almost walked straight into that.
That was almost a line shot right back to the box, Phil. And I don't know if you named, you know, I don't name, did you name the no, no, excuse me, I don't know, name.
Let me do it, okay?
Go ahead.
Do you know the name Herb Score?
Yes, I do know the name Herb Score.
Okay, then you know it, but. When you said that, it's not a pet, it's a woman, you became Herb Score, and the general was standing there waiting on a change-up. Okay?
Well, a change-up means he could jack it, he could go yard with that thing.
He could jack it out of the park, and he could also do something else, line it right back to the mound. Okay? You understand what that is, right? When he line shot right back to the face of the pitcher?
Okay. But he's so Herb Score.
Let me tell the audience, Herb Score was a pitcher for the Cleveland Indians who took a line shot right off his face in a game and lost his eye. It was a horrible, horrible in-game incident. It happened many, many, many years ago. I think it was in the 50s. And Herb Score actually went on to be a member of the Cleveland Indian broadcast booth, but he was very badly injured on this line drive right back to the mound. It must have come back like a rifle shot.
Well, what are you doing now? You're trying to get some sympathy or something? Forget about Herb Score. I'm just using him as an example.
Well, you want to use a guy that really got injured? Then I'm going to give the story about the guy, okay?
Okay, great. Go ahead, Paul Harvey. Here's the rest of the story, folks.
Look, Phil, all we're trying to do...
Hold on for a minute. You can't just drop a name in there without me explaining it, okay?
All I'm saying, Phil, is that you are the guy that fed that big, fat, buttered and salted softball up to the general... And he stepped out of the box. He could have swung on that thing and lined it right back into the box in your eye.
All right. Well, thank you both, gentlemen. Dean, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm barely here, Phil. But I think I've made my point, and I know I'll be getting emails and mail tomorrow from people saying, congratulations, you won.
Hey, wait a minute, pal.
See you later, Phil.
Hello? Oh, yeah, okay. What a gutless wonder.
You were talking all that time saying nothing. I think he won the debate.
He won the debate? You know...
I hung up on him, folks, just so you know.
Well, I think that's dirty pool, Phil. Ted was trying to make a good point there.
He wasn't making any point at all. He wasn't making any point at all. 7 lonely days and 100 miles ago, I reached out and it was a rodent he was looking for.
I said a hamster.
Okay, but the fact of the matter is it wasn't. It was a woman. Now, hold on. Because I can see the look in his eye.
Yeah, well, you're teeing it up again.
Well, what do you expect me to do?
I expect you to be a gentleman. If I say to you he wasn't looking for a hamster, he was looking for a woman, and you say I'm teeing one up, and I'm Herb Score, and you're about to hit a line shot back to the box, but you stepped out of the box, you made a good decision stepping out of the box.
What?
Don't worry about it. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Just crazy. Update for you guys. I will be appearing on an episode of Mark Maron's syndicated comedy on IFC. We're going to be filming that in early January, Margaret.
Yes, I just got in contact with my press people, and you will be you'll be filming that episode of Mark's very funny show. And Mark, of course, is a phenomenal story online, on the internet. Mark Maron with his very popular podcast. And yes, you are going to be one of the guest stars on that episode.
So we are going to be shooting that, so I want you guys to be looking for that. And we're also going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, which I'm really looking forward to this. The San Francisco Sketch Fest is a long time and very prestigious festival featuring comedy and sketch comedy. And I will be there on January the 26th, sort of rolling out the one-man show, or at least rolling out a version of the one-man show. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. A program note. We're going to be on vacation taking Christmas between Christmas and New Year's off. So when I say that, we will certainly have our best of shows for you. We are also going to have some, not all, not every night, but some best of video casts as well as some live video casts. However, I am going to be going out of town and, you know.
We're going to go.
I may be going back to Washington, D.C., and I think I'll go out to the desert.
Well, don't you, Dill? You do your traditional trip out to Palm Springs, don't you?
Yeah, Mr. Perrin, you go out to Palm Springs and everything.
Okay, I mean, maybe I will, and maybe I won't.
Well, where do you go in Palm Springs?
I go to a little, I don't want to say.
Well, I'll tell you later, General.
Yeah, fine, just, you know. But I go out and hang, and it's a nice place. The desert's great in the wintertime. Although I went 1 year, and I actually enjoyed this, though, but I went to the desert 1 year, and I got a really cool place. And it rained, man, it rained almost every bloody day.
Now that was out. You don't really go to Palm Springs, do you?
I go out to that area. But and I was staying at this place I like to stay at, and it was just coming down in buckets, man. And you want to know something? I had a ball, you know.
Well, you know, all you want to do is relax, you know.
Yeah, and it was unusual. You go to the desert primarily to see sun.
Yeah, well, you go out the desert to see cactus too.
Yeah.
You don't go to the desert to see cactus, necessarily.
Well, what do you go out there for?
You go out there because it's beautiful and, you know.
Well, you go out there because you expect there's going to be some sun. In the wintertime, the weather is perfect. It's temperate, and it's very lovely. I know a great many of our snowbirds love to go down there, don't they?
Yeah, we have, in fact, in the desert here in California, just like in Florida, I think, a lot of Canadians. Now, it's a very interesting thing about Canadians.
No, you're not going to talk about Canadians because I've got a lot of Canadian friends and I don't want you squatting over them and relieving yourself.
Hold on, General. I'm not going to do anything of the sort. I got my cousins who are up in Canada. In fact, they were going to come down and I think they're actually going to Florida. I don't know what they're doing. Sometimes they go to Florida and sometimes they don't. Canadians go to Florida and they come out to Palm Springs in the winter. Now, here's an interesting thing. Because it depends on the state, I really believe. Minnesotans, you know people in Minnesota, right?
Yes, I know people in Minnesota. What about them?
All right. They go in the wintertime. They don't go to California. They go to either Florida or Cancun, Mexico.
Yeah, they go to Vegas, too.
And Vegas, yeah. Now, that's Minnesotans.
The Canadians, well, the Canadians go to Vegas and California and Florida.
Well, why did the Minnesotans go to Mexico?
I don't know. But go down to Cancun in the winter, and there's gophers. Is that what you call guys from Minnesota?
Yes, you call them golden gophers.
Well, you don't call the people golden gophers, do you?
You don't call a gopher that. You think there's such a gopher as a golden... There might be a golden gopher, I don't know. But I can tell you that if there was a golden gopher, I'd be very reluctant to want to kill that thing. I don't know.
No. It's the name of the football team. But in any event, so that's kind of an interesting thing. And I remember I was getting on the plane. And then Vegas also has a fair number of people visiting there in the wintertime from, like, Portland, places like that. But I found this to be true, that depending upon the region of the country and the region, and Canada is like I shouldn't say this because people get mad at me, but Canada's almost like another state in a way, you know, because they have their little thing that they do. But there's certain places that people go, and you find more of them in one place than in another. Vegas is huge, man, obviously, in the wintertime for a lot of people.
Well, what about Californians don't go to Vegas in the winter?
Californians go to Vegas all the... It doesn't... What do you mean?
Well, you're saying there's a specific time of year.
Yeah, when do Californians go to Vegas?
Whenever they want to go to Vegas. What do you mean?
Well, when do you go to Vegas?
Whenever I feel like it.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out when I'm supposed to go.
What do you mean when you're supposed to go?
If Californians go to Vegas the way other people go to Vegas, then there's a time of year.
Well, no, Californians don't go to Vegas the way other people go to Vegas, because Californians are right next to Vegas, so they go whenever the hell they want.
So I can go anywhere, anytime I want?
Hey, bud, can I tell you something?
Well, just try to get an answer, Mr. Henry.
I'm answering the question. You can go anytime you want. There's no I have to go at a certain time of year.
You said that a Canadian goes when it's supposed to go.
I did not say that.
All right, well, if you didn't say that, you didn't say it. If you're lying...
Wait a minute. You see, this is where I think you guys are kidding, you know?
Kidding how?
Kidding as in you're not serious. Are you serious?
All we know is we heard you say that there are different regions of the country that are directed to certain areas of the year.
No, they're not directed at all.
All right, well, that's what we thought you said.
No, there's no such thing in America of, hi, I'm from Wisconsin. Where do I go this year? Okay, you people, you go to Mexico. Now, where are you from? Minnesota. All right, you go to Cancun, and you... No, we don't do that.
Well, Phil, that's what you were saying.
No, I wasn't saying that.
Phil, don't get up. Just because your mind is coming unglued doesn't mean the rest of us have got to go down to crapper with you. We're trying to understand.
Hey, General, all night long I've been listening to your mind coming unglued. Speaking of minds coming unglued...
In what sense?
Well, that's a good point. The whole thing about, are you experienced? Well, I am.
Hold on for just a minute.
Yeah, you did say that, General.
No. Now, Jimi Hendrix was singing a song, but first, are you experienced? Well, guess what? I am.
Yeah, well, he isn't singing it that way. How do you get, you're getting a whole...
Well, it's the whole female-feminine liberation front. That's the thing that I find fault with.
I see. And so Jimmy's song was a...
It's Jimmy, huh?
Yeah, it's Jimmy. And his song was about men taking back the power?
You can look at it that way, yes.
Well, I don't... I've heard that song, and it sounds like a big acid... There's a whole acid head thing, and it's just... It's all acid.
Well, probably you're right, Margaret.
But the whole thing you're talking about... You seen a sun blowing up and everything?
The what?
No. I've seen the sun rise from the bottom of the sea. Well, yeah? Well, guess what? Are you experienced? No. Well, I am.
Yeah, okay. So, guys, thank you very, very much. It's been nice talking to you. Nice knowing you. Nice meeting you. Good Lord.
Well, Phil.
No, not well, Phil. We're going to close out. I don't know how much time we got, but we're going to close out with a little bit of Band-Aid here from our holiday music, if I can find it. Thank you very much, General. Oh, we got only a minute. Shoot. Thank you, General. I probably should have gotten to the music sooner because I think it would have been far, far more, a far, far better thing what I do than what I had done did do before.
Well said, Phil.
Thank you. See you guys tomorrow night, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
It's Christmas time. Yes. There's no need to be afraid.